Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. It's Wednesday, December 21, or is it the 21st? I don't really know what the 21st is appropriate, but 21 may serve the purpose. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Abraham Hamilton III, also known as Abe. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Abe serves as public policy analyst for us here at American Family Association and also general counsel. And Fred Jackson is here. Well, by the way, Walker has a title.
I'll take out the garbage.
Okay. Garbage man.
Vacuum.
Walker Wildman. He vacuums.
Windex the windows.
Serves as... You do all that?
I'm talking about at my house.
Oh, okay. And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Breaking news. 3 days of shopping left before Christmas.
I was going to say, there is a reason I brought up December the 21st. You have 3 days left. Let's just go around the table here. We'll just have a men's view for just a minute. Walker, how are you faring on your
Christmas shopping?
On your Christmas shopping, yeah.
Well, I like to call it holiday shopping.
Really?
That's my preference.
But. Yeah, because people buy so many things for New Year's and Thanksgiving, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, no, actually, I actually committed a sin last night because I lied.
Whoa.
Well,
not everything's
a funny
just
story.
To throw out there for the public.
Oh, well, okay. It's a funny story.
Okay, it's a funny story. Okay.
Yeah. It's a.
It was a real
it's
sin,
a
lo- or
it's
a,
it's a smaller sin.
Okay, smaller sin. Okay.
I was in our local mall, and you know, there's these booths in the middle that where they're trying to sell stuff.
Kiosk, I think
the
they're
kiosk,
called.
And they just want you to come to their kiosk.
Sure, they do. Yeah.
Well,
they carnival bark. Come over here, buy this from me.
Yeah, and my theory is, don't even look at them.
And don't make eye contact.
No, if they shout at you, you just keep going.
Just
act
keep
like you
going.
Came here.
Okay.
So I'm walking by one of the kiosks, and a lady, you know, gets as much as in my face as she can, and she says, "Are you Christmas shopping?"
Right.
And I wanted to say, "No, I'm shopping for Valentine's Day." We're just 3 days out
You're
from
ahead.
Christmas.
I'm ahead. I bought Christmas last summer.
Yeah.
I'm looking for things.
So, but
you were tempted. You were almost a smart aleck to this lady.
I did, but here's what I did. I said, I looked at her with a straight face, and I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not." And I had 3 bags, all Christmas gifts for my wife.
Well, you were done Christmas shopping.
Yeah, so technically I wasn't Christmas
technically
shopping.
You weren't.
Well, I thought Walker was going to say, when he said he committed a sin,
yeah.
I thought he was going to say one of these, the kiosks in the middle of the mall, was offering free things to give away, and he got one for his wife for Christmas.
For Christmas?
Something free.
Something free? Oh, man. Well, Abe, what about it? How you doing over there with your shopping?
All the shopping I'm going to do is done.
It's done?
Except for I got to get some stuff for the meal we're going to have.
Okay, you got
Christmas
small
Day.
Children, right?
I do.
So
I do.
So you got anything to put together on Christmas Eve?
No, because my oldest son's birthday is in December as well.
Oh.
So some of the larger things are already done, so it'll be smaller stuff.
Get out there. I'm talking about get out the wrench. The
no,
hammer,
so you're not
going to
be in the carport at midnight.
No, okay. I won't. I heard that story. No, I won't be in the carport at midnight.
I tell you what, Allison, my wife, and I did one time. This is embarrassing to confess, but you know, we've maybe made 4 or 5 mistakes in our 30 plus years of marriage, so this was one of them. This is one of the rare ones. This is really embarrassing, but we were in our, and she's smart. She's much smarter than I. She's a smart lady, but we were tired. It was Christmas Eve, and we were in our attic getting stuff out, right? So we put this little car together in the attic.
In the attic?
Yeah, this little, and then you know the rest. Took us about 30 minutes to get it together, and then we got it over there to the attic door.
Oh, no.
You know where that's? Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It didn't.
Oh, man.
It didn't fit. That was, You know, I don't know. We all know the emotions that rise up in you when you figure out that you've done something like that. And Walker mentioned sinning, and so you're trying not to. I don't know what you're trying to do. You're trying not
self-control.
Yeah, self-control. I also one time put a – it was cold. This was Christmas Eve, and it was cold, and I was outside putting a basketball goal together. I would just encourage people, don't do that. Don't wait to put a basketball – I'm talking about a full basketball goal, not just, you know, a rinky-dink thing. I'm talking about you got to get out the wrench and screwdriver and hammer and the whole – and you got to get out the instructions. You're talking 2 hours here, right here, for the most – and got it done and then figured out I had put it up and I figured out I had one of the brace – two of the braces on backwards or something like that. And again, you're just like – and it was cold. And you want to go to bed and, you know, your thighs are burning and your eyes are burning. And it's just like, no, you know. And have y'all seen the commercial with we are going to get to the hard news, people, so hold on. But this is
pretty tough.
This is important. Have y'all seen the commercial with the – I don't know, it's a Mercedes-Benz or somebody with the children going – the adults go to wake up the children?
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw that commercial.
Huh? Is that Mercedes-Benz? What is that?
I think it's Mercedes-Benz. I think it is Mercedes.
And the adults go screaming in the children's bed like at 5 in the morning, like, come downstairs. You know, because it's reversal and the parents are going out there to look at their new car. Anyway.
Speaking of your wife.
Yeah, speaking of my wife.
Yeah, I was shopping yesterday in one of those... the nation's largest department store.
Mm-hmm.
I saw your wife.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should tell you this. She was shopping. She had a shopping cart.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
As long as it was for him.
And there was a baby stroller in it.
A baby stroller? But one for us. I'll tell you that right now, my friend. Weird. Long past.
You're not having a Christmas surprise.
Walker here's our baby, and he's 23. There ain't going to be no
surprise,
more.
Surprise, Tim.
Well, actually, that's funny you brought that up because I pulled
that. That was for our grandchildren.
I pulled the joke on Dad the other day. We were sitting at doing our Christmas. We did our Christmas family, our side of the family, this past weekend, this past Sunday night. And Dad, everything got quiet, and Dad said, I need to tell y'all something.
Uh-oh.
And then I pulled that. I said, do y'all have some news?
Right. Because Walker and his wife
were expecting.
That's you know?
Right. Congratulations, yeah. Man.
And so, no.
He told us like a family story or something.
Yeah. No need to get too personal. I just say, Fred, it would be a miracle of God if Allison and I became pregnant. And you'd have to put us in an institution because I'm not... I've already given everything I could give to my three children who are now grown adults with children
Actually,
of their own.
I should finish the story. She took the stroller out and gave it to your daughter who has two children.
Yeah.
And they were there at the mall too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, I'm one of those, everybody's family works differently, but ours is, I barely even know what bank we use. Okay. Honestly, I just hand my paycheck to my wife and just tell her, make the house note, keep the hot water on. Probably going to need the cable TV for a few football games. Other than that, I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't need to know all the details.
Every now and then, some spaghetti and meatballs, I'm happy.
I'm happy. All right, Walker, are we Facebooking today?
Yeah, we're on Facebook Live, and I will be posting all the articles and headlines that we'll be talking about today on the program.
Okay, Fred, what's leading the news?
Well, and I suppose we ought not be surprised by this, but Barack Obama, 3 weeks left, roughly?
In his presidency?
In his presidency. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people said he was going to stay busy right to the end. Now, keep in mind, he and his family in Honolulu for Christmas, but he's still doing things. And one of the more controversial things we just found out about today, he's made two appointments to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. One in particular is extremely controversial. It's a lawyer by the name of Debo Adegbale. Now, probably that is not a household word. But you may remember back 2 or 3 years ago, President Obama tried to name this lawyer to head up, I believe, is the Justice Department Civil Rights Division.
Yeah. As the chair of the Justice Department Civil Rights Division.
Both Democrats and Republicans got together to block this. Now, the question is, you ask, why? because he's a lawyer who defended a cop killer. He defended a cop killer, a Philadelphia police officer assassinated by this Black Panther, Mumbai Abu Jamal. And this lawyer defended him and tried to get him off. And in the appeals process, and Abe probably knows more about this than I, in the appeals process, tried to claim that the jury was tainted because there were not enough African-Americans on the jury. Mm-hmm. So you have this cop killer, by the way, this Black Panther, Mumbai Abu Jamal, the guy who did the killing, and there's no question he did the killing. He was opposed by Democrats there in the Philadelphia or Pennsylvania. I think it was Bill Casey at the time. During the trial, this Mumbai Abu Jamal, this Black Panther, when they were describing in great detail during the trial the murder of this police officer, this man turned around and smiled and smirked at the widow of the police officer. This is the kind of guy we're talking about. Now, his lawyer, Obama, has appointed this lawyer who defended this cop killer, this cop killing assassin. Obama has appointed him to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights now for a 6-year appointment. Mm-hmm. What pointed out this morning is that the New York Times has not talked about this. Mm-mm. The Washington Post is not talking about it. CNN is not talking about this because they know the outrage when people find out about this. Again, this is a lawyer who was rejected by Democrats and Republicans in the Senate when Obama tried to make him head of the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. Democrats said, no, we're not going to put up with this. I tell you, there's outrage already. The police fraternities, especially the one in Philadelphia, they're quoted this morning by saying this is a kick in the teeth to the cops.
Mm-hmm. You know, what this position is, it's a 6-year appointment. It's called the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. Is that what it is, Abe?
That's right, U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. It's the same entity that provided the 306-page document outlining how the Department of Justice will approach issues where the First Amendment comes into conflict with the civil rights agenda that's being contorted to embrace a sexual deviancy agenda.
Yeah. Okay, so this is kind of a parting shot, if you will, from President Obama. He's sort of going back to his far left roots here. Well, he's never left them, but I mean, this is, you know, of all the people, and by the way, you can't reverse this.
Nope.
You can't reverse this. So President Trump can't come in and reverse this or take this fellow off. So this is in your face to law and order, folks, I guess you could say.
I wonder if they can just abolish that commission, just do away with it.
What do you think about this appointment here?
Well, and I think it's a parting shot, but not just for scorn. I think this is one of these types of moves are the types of things that the president does. Because like I said, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights is the entity that currently serves as kind of the watchdog for the nation over on civil rights issues in the country. And so this is a move that President Obama is making to kind of fill this commission with people who would carry on President Obama's view of the concept of civil rights as opposed to what may come with the president-elect Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, there's nothing that anybody can do to stop this. It reflects real poorly, again, on President Obama and shows you he's appointing a lawyer who defended a known cop killer, and this guy was so detested even among Democrats, that they didn't want him. And now President Obama's appointed him to a position that needs no confirmation. And anyway.
And it's worth noting, it's the first, one of the first under President Obama's administration, first appointments that he made that Democrats opposed.
Yes.
I mean, this is, you know, President Obama, the darling of the Democrats when he won re-election. Yeah. Immediately following his re-election, the Democrats are like, this is a bridge too far, President Obama. Yeah. And there is something that a President Trump could do. He could scrap the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights and then restart it, that would effectively...
You could do that?
He can do that because the Department of Justice comes within the ambit of the executive branch of the federal government. So if...
But he couldn't... He can't
unappoint him, though.
Right.
He can't unappoint him once he's appointed to the 6-year
term. He can just decommission the commission.
He can decommission the commission and recommission it and refill it with new appointees.
I mentioned there were two appointments. Mm-hmm. There's this lawyer. Now, the second one, the other appointee that Obama made, is Catherine Lamont. She is the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights at the Department of Education, who spearheaded the Obama administration's transgender mandate, currently the subject of litigation.
Yeah.
Lamont has close ties to left-wing activists and played a key role in the infamous Rolling Stone rape hoax.
Mm.
As we say, both of these appointments now,
Why would he do this, eh?
Yeah, so this is clear. So you have a person who's beloved by those who may, you know, call a BLM sympathizers or whatever. And then you have this appointment who's a person who's wholeheartedly embraced the sexual deviancy agenda. This is attempts by President Obama to ensure his legacy on what is commonly referred to as civil rights, but what I would suggest is a perversion of the concept of civil rights, reading into the civil rights movement, the radical sexual deviancy agenda, and developing or inculcating an anti-police hostility into this civil rights commission in order to maintain his legacy concerning the Barack Obama administration interpretation of the whole notion of civil rights. This is his attempt to fortify the commission against what is expected to come from President-elect Donald Trump.
Mm. Wow. Well, is that you going to put that story up, Walker?
Yeah, it's already up.
I tell you what, if I were President-elect Trump, and he might do it, I might just consider doing what you're talking about. Couldn't hurt him, no. I don't think, because the President Obama doing this is sort of poking his finger in the eye of.
And half of these commissions, they're no good.
Yeah,
I mean, they just sit there and write these.
You shouldn't be able to enact
page reports.
You shouldn't be able to enact policy if you're not accountable,
right?
Seems to me.
But I think one thing this does also is confirm Barack Obama's hostility towards police officers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no argument anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is the has this fraternal police spokesman said, this is a slap in the face to every cop in the country. Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Yeah.
And I mean,
things like this is why Trump won.
And I think it's broader than just to every police officer, because the one thing that almost every American recognizes that we need it more than anything right now is healing for our country.
Yes.
Instead of striking a conciliatory tone, the president continues to stoke the fire of division and racial animus and hostility to keep these things going, and which I think, once again, is another attempt of the Democrats to prepare themselves for 2018. Because they're out of ideas. Mm-hmm. So the only thing they trade in is fear and animus based in racial identity politics and racial animosity. And so they're creating issues where none really should exist and continuing to stoke the same fires that cause it, that contributes to the fracture we're experiencing as a country right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes to what we talked about earlier in the week, guys, is about Obama in this NPR interview earlier in the week, basically saying his agenda is going to continue to promote Obamacare. He's going to go out there and continue to promote his idea, his thoughts on climate change. This is a president, when he becomes ex-president, is not going to go away.
I think that's going to hurt him. Personally, I think that's going to hurt him with the American people. He has, even though his policies have failed to be enacted, except for his executive orders over the last 6 years, basically, since the Democrats lost the House and the Senate, President Obama... His approval rating has risen, so he's somewhere above 50, I think, or right in there. So I think he is generally 50s, not generally. He is, he's liked by probably more people in the country than not as a person, okay, as a person. But if he continues to do things like this, and if he is going to be the leader of a shadow government, if that's what you want to call it, post leaving the White House. In other words, he's going to stay in Washington and set up, an opposing White House, as it were, down the street from the real one to criticize everything President-elect Trump does. I think that will hurt his image, and I think that will only further damage the Democrats about it. I just don't think fair-minded Americans like that kind of thing. They like the approach that the tradition of most ex-presidents is to stay out of the news.
I think you're right that it will. I think the ultimate result will be that it will be additionally damaging for Democrats. But I think it is one of the things that President Obama has made the calculus that is going to keep him relevant.
Yes.
And I think he's focused not only I honestly don't really think he plans to be very effective in terms of being a political power broker. I think he's really setting himself up to generate income, to be able to generate revenue for speeches and write books and to have he's going to remain a darling of the left no matter what happens, which includes the media crowd and the Hollywood crowd and all of those groups. So I think he's positioning himself to continue to be.
How much is he worth now?
I don't know.
Oh,
I mean,
millions.
It's far, obviously far more than it was when he went into the White House. But he's positioning himself to be able to pull in the kind of money Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were pulling in.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, these millions of dollars spent on family vacations in Hawaii for 2 weeks at the end of every year, that's about to stop. unless he can bring in the kind of money Bill Clinton did and Hillary did after they left the White House. You know, that's part of the benefit of being president. You can, an ex-president, people will pay you a lot of money to come and do commencement speeches or speeches to organizations or companies or something like that.
And you know how Al Gore made, environmentalism his thing.
Mm-hmm.
President and he made gugob truckloads of money off of his environmentalism shtick, even though it's based on some false conclusions. President Obama is positioning himself to do the very same thing, but having a more broad appeal than just one issue of environmentalism. He is going to be the standard bearer for secular progressivism and the progressive agenda in America and make money off of it.
I expect even right now there are people, organizations lining up Obama for speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And I would predict 300,000 is not out of the ballpark per speech for a 40-minute speech.
Even though he has no power.
Nope. Yep. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Perception.
Nope. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, all right, what else you got, Fred?
Well, there's one other thing.
What's your speaking fee going to be? Will you come in for less than that?
I have to pay to speak.
Oh, you have to pay to speak? Okay.
Yeah, that's where I am. Time. Now, still with Obama and making announcements, in the last 48 hours, he's also announced that he's barring future oil leases in large swaths of the Atlantic and Arctic oceans. And listen to this, folks. He's using a 1953 provision that allows the president to ban offshore leases in the outer continental shelf permanently. So he's got about six swaths off of New England there. And this comes as a joint announcement with the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. And then in the Arctic as well. Now listen to what he had to say. Today, in partnership with our neighbors and allies in Canada, the United States is taking historic steps to build a strong Arctic economy. So he's not going to allow any oil drilling, but he's talking about a strong Arctic economy.
Eskimos going to sell ice cream?
What else is going to do? What are you going to do for an economy up there?
Well, Fred, you think words mean anything. You remember those shovel-ready jobs?
Yeah, that's right.
Green energy jobs?
Uh-huh.
Do you like your doctor, you can keep it? Is anybody noticing a pattern here?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll be back momentarily. We're gonna go to North Carolina and talk to David Benham of the Benham Brothers.
Yeah.
There's a big situation in the state of North Carolina today as the legislature there considers whether to repeal, if you will, HB2. HB2 was passed to protect women and children from men going into their bathrooms and changing areas on public property in North Carolina. We'll be back to talk about that in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, our cold winter weather continues, calling into question the issue of global warming.
It's hard to argue with the American people when we see these brutal winters.
And it makes it hard to make the case that man-made global warming is going on.
When we have polar vortexes.
Whether it's weather or not, we'll offer insight on the issue of the day. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, the train to Israel's leaving, so it's a last call. Actually, a train can't go to Israel, but you get the idea. We're planning on going to the Holy Land in March, and it's time to sign up if you're going to go, because we've only got just a few seats left on our tour to Israel. We're going to fly from JFK to Tel Aviv, and then bus to Jerusalem, where we'll be for 4 days, and we'll be seeing all the places you've read about in the Bible. And we're going to be on to Bethlehem, then Jericho, and the Dead Sea, and Masada, and the Jordan River, and the Sea of Galilee, and the Valley of Armageddon, and Mount Carmel, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a wonderful time seeing Israel. For more information, visit the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. The baby Jesus just got evicted from an affordable housing complex for low-income renters. Residents at Mercy Village in Joplin, Missouri, were ordered to remove nativity scenes and religious decorations from common areas of the building. Under the Fair Housing Act, common areas are required by the government to be religion neutral. One resident tells the local newspaper, "It was like somebody brought in a vacuum cleaner and sucked all the joy out." In years past, they had been able to decorate with crosses and a Happy Birthday Jesus banner, all sorts of religious imagery, but no more. Santa Claus is okay, so are Christmas trees, but Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus have been boxed up. This sounds like a job for President-elect Trump. Maybe he can make Christmas great again in the public areas of that housing complex. I wonder if Mercy Housing has a policy on ugly Christmas sweaters or fruitcake. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. We're live streaming on Facebook. By the way, in case you were curious, we were talking about the net worth of, we were talking about money that ex-presidents make from speeches and how much money Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, of course she wasn't a president, but the Clinton family made post leaving the White House. They're now worth over like $110, $120 million. But the president himself, while serving, makes $400,000 a year, which is not, that's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, right. But that's not a lot of money to be the CEO of America.
Right.
You know, so you don't quote, get rich being president.
It helps, though, that that all their expenses are paid for.
It's money in the bank. Yeah. Of course, you got to pay taxes on that. That's taking you down to about $250 right mm-hmm. there. But they make their money off speeches and such.
Yeah.
And that's the way Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton made
it. Part of how they made their money.
That's right. Part of how they made their money.
See, you did there, Walker.
Yeah. They also made their money from, other ways, which we don't have time to go into. And they are not going to be players anymore.
Our listeners know how they made their money.
Okay. So we don't have to tell them?
Yeah, we don't have to explain it.
Okay. All right. So anyway, we talked about going to North Carolina. We're going to do that now with David Benham, our good friend, David, and from the Benham brothers. David, I talked to him on the phone yesterday about what's happening in the Tar Heel State. Didn't talk to him on the air, but we're on the air now. So we're going to update you folks. There's drama, so to speak, in Raleigh. That's the state capital. How you doing, David?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me on, Tim.
I did get it right. Raleigh is a state capital, true?
You're right. It is. Good.
David, just a brief overview. What's happening there for those who don't know?
All right. So in a nutshell, last year, this year, In 2016, at the beginning of the year, the Charlotte City Council, under the leadership of the newly elected mayor, Jennifer Roberts, very liberal folks, enacted an ordinance. They passed 7-4. It was the bathroom bill. So they opened up our bathroom and to any self-identifying males who happen to believe he's a female. And then they also placed a private mandate on, a mandate on private business to force business owners to adopt these, they call them SOGI, sexual orientation gender identities based on feelings and inclination, these ordinances. It placed this mandate on private business to force participation. And so these two things were clearly breaches of our constitutional rights as North Carolinians. So the state legislature, as well as the governor, passed House Bill 2. What House Bill 2 did, it's called HB 2 in the media. What HB 2 did is it protected the privacy and safety of all citizens of North Carolina in the restrooms and locker rooms, especially our women and children. And it also enabled freedom in the marketplace where Christians don't have to fear the threat of government punishment if they're not participating in a gay wedding or gay pride event. Well, as a result of that, PayPal left the state, the NBA pulled out, the NCAA pulled out. We see all that that's going on. And so when Governor McCrory lost this election to Roy Cooper, who happened to be our attorney general, who refused his constitutional duty to defend House Bill 2, anyway, Roy Cooper now, as an elected official, or governor-elect Roy Cooper, he said to the Charlotte City Council, if you guys will repeal the Charlotte City Ordinance, I can convince the legislature to repeal House Bill 2. Now, I want to pause there for a second. House Bill 2, it made the Charlotte Ordinance ineffective. In other words, there is no such thing as the Charlotte Ordinance anymore. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. So there's nothing to repeal there. So this is just a political shakedown because the Human Rights Campaign and the radical agenda to transform America, they know how powerful and strong House Bill 2 is. It handcuffs them from pushing their agenda against the religious freedoms of Americans. Mm-hmm. So they want this bill eliminated. So they're using this little charade game to say, oh, okay, we'll repeal the Charlotte Ordinance if you repeal House Bill 2. The problem, Tim and Abe, is that Governor McCrory has called a special session and is influencing our legislature to actually repeal House Bill 2. It's like the big bully comes up to the kickball game on the playground and says, if you don't bend the rules to my liking, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Well, it ain't his ball. Mm-hmm. So this is exactly what we're seeing happening here, and it looks like our legislators are going to actually repeal House Bill 2. And so what the left is saying is that, oh, this is going to be a reset. We're just going to go back to the way it was. Well, we already know, based on Roy Cooper, Governor-elect Roy Cooper's comments, and also the Charlotte City Council's comments, they are going to enact these laws again, these ordinances again, that will target religious liberty.
Well, then I'm tracking with you right here. So what you have going on here in the state of North Carolina, the legislature, if they in fact repeal their own law, then the next day or next week or next month, Charlotte or Raleigh or Durham or Wilmington or whoever comes back and does the same thing Charlotte did, imposing making it lawful for men to use women's restrooms and changing areas, showers perhaps, then there would be nothing. Then the state would have to, then the legislature would go have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the way that these legislators have been beat up unmercifully by the media, mm-hmm, and by some corporations and the Hollywood left, all the money that came in to defeat McCrory, the incumbent governor now, and he barely lost by 10,000 votes, I think, mm-hmm, then everybody knows that the legislature would not go back and do it again. So it's now's a moment of truth, and you're saying, do these legislators who voted for HB 2, do they not know that it's an open trick?
I mean, well, they here's the thing, Tim, and this is what really is baffling the citizens of North Carolina, is that we all see this, and I know the legislators see this as well, but they've been so beat up and so maligned and so criticized and ridiculed and persecuted, for that matter, that they and even our state, with getting bullied around by Bruce Springsteen and by PayPal and the NBA and the NCAA and all of these folks, they're trying to say, look, we're going to be a little more moderate here and try to get all these businesses back. And but, what they've got to do is stand and fight, because I know what Greensboro is going to do. I know what Raleigh and Durham are going to do, and what Asheville and now what Charlotte are going to do the minute that House Bill 2 is repealed.
Right.
They're going to pass these ordinances, and, you know, they'll probably get a little more diabolical. They'll do something a little bit more crafty.
Oh, yeah.
Can't quite get into their head and know where they're going to come from. And so, and they're going to disguise it under the protection. We're going to protect the gay community. Well, let me tell you something. There is no cases of discrimination in our state. The gay community is as safe here as they are anywhere else. This is nothing but a political shakedown and a power play to create special rights so that they can target Christians. They can target conservatives and vilify them. And what's happening in Washington State with the bakers and the florists in Oregon, what's happening, and not just that in the private business, but also in Seattle, that man goes into a women's locker room in the clubhouse of the private athletic club and traumatizes these little girls, and no one can make an arrest because he claims SOGI. That's the kind of stuff they want to bring here to North Carolina. Yeah. And House Bill 2 is the only thing standing in their way. And so we're calling Christians all across this country to stand with us.
Yeah, that stand with you in prayer. And we're going to give the phone number, too, for people who the phone number we're going to give is for people who live in North Carolina to call their state legislator and senator, because there's still time. HB 2 has not been reversed yet. They're in Raleigh today having a special session. But before Walker gives the phone number, let me just say this, folks. We've been talking a lot of legal and government and political jargon and everything. Let me just clear the air here for just a minute so we can see this for what it is. What we're talking about is that the city of Charlotte wanted to force their citizens to have to and the businesses, correct me if I'm wrong, David.
Private businesses. Yes.
They wanted to say you must allow men to go into women's restrooms, changing areas, etc., if they feel like they're a woman. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here. So when they say, well, you don't have any empathy, you want to for the transgender person, the man who thinks he's a woman or says he's a woman so he can go into the women's changing area or bathroom. Okay? So we're supposed to bend over backwards for this one little tiny group of people by making all women and children vulnerable and uncomfortable. I don't care if the transgender person, nobody's saying that there's a rash of transgendered out committing crimes in restrooms. Really?
Not at all.
Really? Honestly, that's secondary. What we're talking, there's a reason we have men's and women's restrooms all around the world, in every culture, is because people want privacy and they expect privacy. So for people who don't want men going into women's restrooms and changing areas, that is not bigoted. That is not homophobic. That is not hateful. And that is common sense. That's what the legislature of North Carolina has done to voted to protect with HB 2. They've been beat over the head by the Hollywood types and by the big business who's controlled by the LGBT crowd, who wants to frame this issue as I just described it. But don't buy all that hate, homophobic, bigoted stuff. We're talking about protecting women and children from allowing men going into their restrooms. That's simply all it is. That's common sense. People have the women and children have a right to be have their privacy, and so you should not be yielding for a tiny, tiny percent of people and making everybody else feel uncomfortable.
Right.
It just makes absolutely no sense unless it's a political and social agenda, which David has described it here, which is exactly what's going on. Bottom line, it's anti-God. It's anti-God, and it's anti-morality. Mm-hmm. They're wanting to, the bigger picture is, it's a continuation of the politics of sexual deviancy, mm-hmm. as Abe called it. They're wanting to, little by little, do away with the Christian moral value system as it relates to human sexuality. Mm-hmm. That's the big picture here. That's what's playing That's right. out in North Carolina. Walker, for the citizens of North Carolina who listen to our network and who want to call their legislator mm-hmm. and say, stand up for HB2, don't repeal it, what can they do?
Yeah, they can go call. Here's the phone number if you got a pen and paper and you live in North Carolina. The phone number is 919-733-4111.
Where does that call?
That calls the switchboard at the North Carolina General Assembly.
Okay, and they're getting bombarded right now, so you may get a busy signal, but call and ask for your legislator and or state senator.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who they are, you need to ask somebody who keeps up with this.
Let me repeat that one more time, because I know somebody's saying, I didn't get all that. 919-733-4111.
Yeah, okay, thank you. David, anything else before we let you go, brother?
No, just to clarify, just a touch, it was the Charlotte Ordinance was for public places of accommodation, for the government buildings and all of that, but it also placed a mandate on private businesses like health clubs and others to open up their restrooms. So technically it's under public accommodation, but it slid in this mandate on private businesses. So,
right.
You know, we are being targeted. And they said, Equality North Carolina and the Human Rights Campaign, these are the two activist groups that are really pushing this in North Carolina. They told Governor McCrory, we are going to target you. We're going to try and bankrupt your state to push our agenda. They told that to him. And we're watching that. And all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the freedom that we are enjoying right now cost our founding fathers and those that went before us. And it may cost us something now, but it's worth it for our children to have the same freedoms we have.
I tell you, I was really disappointed to see Duke basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski say this was embarrassing for the state legislature to want to protect women and children from men going into the restrooms. I was shocked at that, quite frankly. Steph Curry came out in favor of getting rid of HB2. He's in favor of men being allowed to.
They don't know what they're talking about. Yeah.
He's in favor.
They don't. They're being. Yeah, you know, Tim, these guys are simply pawns in the hands of the Human Rights Campaign in this puppet agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They are puppeting these guys up there and
That's their fault.
Set them down and explain it. I agree. I totally agree.
Russell Wilson, another well-known Christian athlete, wouldn't have his wedding in North Carolina because he believes men needs to be able to go into women's bathrooms. Mm-hmm.
The problem is both Steph Curry and Russell Wilson profess Christ, and the thing is that they need spiritual leaders to get around them and explain the value of biblical Christianity and what it really looks like and what it means. And how to stand against these agenda. And it really gets down to the root of what the reason why we're here is, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, that the church must be reminded that it is neither the master nor the servant of the state, but it's the conscience of the state. Our spiritual leaders are not rising up as they should. Thank God for the remnant. Thank God for the AFA minority that is speaking.
Yeah.
But we really need pastors to step up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, David, thanks so much for your time. God bless you. Hope that HB2 can be preserved. The fight's not over yet. It's going on today in Raleigh, and we'll keep up with it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys.
That's David Benham from the Benham Brothers. Abe, any thoughts on what we just discussed?
Yeah, I mean, I was so glad David highlighted the fact that the Charlotte Ordinance, even though it's billed as a public accommodation, it provided mandates to private businesses. HB2 fixed that to say public facilities can't do it. But if you're a private business, do whatever you want, which is why PayPal was absolutely hypocritical. There was nothing in HB2 that prohibited PayPal from letting their employees, the men, go into the women's restroom all day long if they wanted.
Don't even have an M and a W in your bathrooms.
Exactly, which highlights the fact that this is being used for political fodder to bludgeon Christians, bludgeon them into submission. And what's being experienced in the North Carolina legislature is weariness in well-doing. They're being eroded away.
We need to pray for them.
Exactly. Yeah.
David and Jason Benham know about what's going on in North Carolina. They experience it themselves.
Yeah. And more to your point, Abe, PayPal which had righteous indignation because they think men ought to be able to go into women's bathrooms and changing areas unfettered. That's their policy. Yet, so they're supposed to be big LGBT friendly company. Yet they set up their international calling center or internet. One of their internet
headquarters, not calling center. It's
International headquarters in Indonesia, I think.
Malaysia, too.
Malaysia. Pardon me. Where homosexuality can be put in prison.
Yeah. Yes.
So let me get this straight. PayPal says we are not going to go to North Carolina and be a part of that bigotry. We're going to go to Malaysia, where they cane homosexuals.
Yeah.
You know, or that where they put them in jail for those practices, which it makes it so hypocritical that they just prove that they're not really interested in that. They're more interested in the money over the mission of LGBT. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing was pile on North Carolina over this. Anyway, do pray for the people and the leaders there in the legislature, and we'll follow that story. It's happening right now in Raleigh. The governor there has called a special session, and we'll see whether the vote is taken to repeal HB2. Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Abe Hamilton and Walker Wildman. Billy Davis is with us. Billy's on staff here. With us. Billy did devotion. He's on staff. He had devotion. You had devotion this morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Tim.
Good morning.
I only say that out of respect for your old age.
Yeah. Well, that's very kind of you.
Thank you.
I think that's a compliment.
Backhanded?
I think what you were supposed to say.
Even if it's a backhanded compliment.
Because I'm your elder.
Still a
not
compliment.
Because you're old age.
No, elder. That
yeah, you're
good.
My elder, so yeah, you're respecting your true. Elders. Hey, you had a story this morning about the history behind the Charlie Brown special. Before we get to your behind the scenes or the story behind that,
yes, sir.
I want to play
the
clip. This is the everybody knows this. If you've watched Charlie Brown Christmas special, it's been on since 1965 annually on CBS. And this is the scene where Linus and Charlie Brown talk about the real meaning of Christmas.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless. Rats! You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a treat! I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
I don't think you could get away with that today.
Nope.
That would not be PC, but because it's been on the air since 1965, and it's top rated every year. Tell us what you found out about the history behind that episode.
Well,
that special, Christmas Brown.
I can't take credit for looking this up. It was very easy to find. If you go to YouTube, there's about a 15-minute documentary interviewing Charles Schulz's widow and the director and the producer of that cartoon. Basically, the history behind it is that Charles Schulz created a lot of problems at CBS when he came out with that special.
He's the creator of Peanuts, that's right. Which is the Charlie Brown store, yes. Cartoon series.
And he gave him a heart attack at CBS when they saw this cartoon because it had things like a jazz.
You said about a week before it was supposed to debut in 1965. The executives at CBS got to see the Charlie Brown Christmas that was going to air on their network.
That's right.
And of course, Charlie Brown was a huge cartoon series,
comic strip
in newspapers all across America for I don't know how long. So it was the characters were very well known to the American
and Charles
people.
Schultz was well known. And
what did it have? You got about 2 minutes to tell us what were two or three things that it had in it that made the executives of CBS nervous.
Well, it gave them a heart attack because you had a jazz music in the background.
Right.
You had the voices of children. That really got them nervous, and that those had never been done before. And the worst part was Linus quoting that scripture from the Bible. They just
made them real nervous. They thought it was going to be a flop because of this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And what happened on the night it aired?
The night it aired, half the country was watching Bonanza, Tim, but the other half of the country was watching a Charlie Brown Christmas.
1965. Of course, you only had three channels.
Three channels.
Maybe PBS, if you count that, would be four. So that was millions and millions.
I think
it was
14 million people at the time.
Watched that?
Yes, wow. Which the CBS executives
and the
were
country
was
probably half the size it is now, population wise. So you're talking about that's just amazing. So the Charlie Brown Christmas special was a hit.
Yes, sir. It was.
And has been
a
on
surprise
the air.
Hit.
Am I right that it's been on the air consecutive?
It's supposedly, from what they said in the documentary, it's the longest running successful Christmas cartoon in TV history, even though it was supposed to flop.
Yeah. What now, you were making a deeper spiritual point in our devotion.
Well, I was trying to in the devotion.
No, Billy, go ahead and tell us what it was.
Well, let me read this scripture here. This is what Linus, first of all, what Linus said, what did Linus say? He said, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And my point in devotion this morning, my question is, what is Christmas all about? Well, if you go back to what he read in Luke, if you look in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, I'll read this as best I can in my southern dialect. But,
really?
the angel said to
you don't
them,
have two deepest. Don't worry about that.
I don't believe you. And you're not that old.
Okay.
Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior who is Messiah the Lord is born to you in the city of David. And my point this morning was, if you look at that scripture, what is Christmas all about? Well, what were they told? There is good news. And we know good news, gospel, good news of great joy that will be for who?
All the people.
Mm-hmm. And as Messiah the Lord who was what? He was born for you in the city of David.
Mm-hmm.
And my point this morning, Tim, was that Christmas is all about us. Christmas and the cross is all about a rescue of us.
That was your main point, that when you said it's all about us, you mean it's all about us being
the Christ who came to rescue mankind from himself.
Right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That'll preach.
Amen.
That will preach. Christ came to rescue us
from ourselves.
From ourselves, from our sin. And so that's what Christmas is all about, according to Linus.
Keep that tape rolling.
And
right,
you know, in that video, I didn't notice this. Didn't know this. You pointed out this morning when Linus quotes the angel saying, "Fear not." Mm-hmm. He drops his security blanket.
Yes,
that he's known for in the comic series. Thank you, Billy.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas,
appreciate
y'all.
It. All right, Merry Christmas. We shall return momentarily, at least after the news. We'll be back with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.